Forever Dog.
Welcome to another episode of Best Show Bests, the greatest hits of the best show, with me, your host, Tom Sharpling. If you like what you hear, make sure you join us every Tuesday night on Twitch at 6 p.m. Pacific for a brand new episode of the Best Show featuring callers, celebrity guests, live music, and plenty of surprises. Enjoy! Everybody, welcome to Best Show Bests, the best of the best show. And you can find out more about the best show over at thebestshow.net. It airs live every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. And if you're new to the program, this show are these are little bite-sized bits and greatest hits type samples of what we do every week. So if you like this, maybe you check out the full show. And if you want to support The Best Show, we have a Patreon set up over at patreon.com/thebestshow. That is how you support the program. It is listener-sponsored now, and you give what you can, and we appreciate it. And there are prizes and benefits at all different levels of giving. So again, go to patreon.com/thebestshow and support the show. And now please, without further ado, check out this episode of Best Show Bests. I'm being told to go to line four. I'm being told there's a superstar on line four. Hello?
No, that's a mistake. There's actually only a musician. All the superstars left.
Only a musician. Now, can I ask who this is, please? This is... Because my producers are playing a thing where they try to top each other to get a better guest each time, and one of them is doing a dance in the corner saying, I win the contest for all of eternity now.
Yeah, they did. They did a really cruddy thing, man. They started posting on the net, on Twitter, that they were going to, you know, like, have major failures in their life. Their wife was going to leave them. Their complexion was going to go bad. Their posture was going to dissolve. Their status in your company, they would get fired. All these dire consequences if I didn't call you.
Well, those things have started to happen to them, unfortunately. So I guess I don't know if these things are reversible. So this is David Crosby, the legend.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. What an honor to have you call this show, sir.
I mean, now tell me about your show, because all I know of you as is these pestiferous people on Twitter who keep telling me that they want me to call you. I have no idea who you are or what your show is. Where are you?
I'm in New Jersey. It's a show called The Best Show, and it's a live it's a live radio show that we do on the internet, and then it goes up as a podcast the next day. Tomorrow this will be a podcast. But people can listen to it live now. People are hearing this live just like radio.
What's your name, man?
My name's Tom.
Tom?
Yes.
Hi, Tom. I'm David.
David, it is an honor to speak to you. I can say you, one of the greatest songs in my entire life, you are the composer of. Everybody's Been Burned.
So you like old stuff, huh?
I like all the stuff. I like your new, you have Sky Trails is out.
Oh, you do know about the new
See,
stuff.
I know, I'm just saying, I'm on board for the whole thing.
Oh, well, thanks, man.
But I always thought that if I ever spoke to you, I would tell you that song is one of my all-time favorites. That's a top 10 all-time favorite song for me.
It's probably the first halfway decent song I wrote. Probably the first one that was actually sort of almost okay.
And could you feel that? Did you feel like you broke through something when like the idea, like, I'm in the game now?
I felt like that girl in the second row looked up and was looking at me.
Because when you're starting off, you were a singer, and then suddenly everybody had to be a songwriter all of a sudden.
Well, I think we all wanted to be, because we came out of being folk musicians.
Sure.
And the tradition was already there for writing your own songs. It was a standard thing. People did that. But when we saw what Bob Dylan did, you know, he took the lid off of songwriting for us. and then we said, oh, well, wait a minute, this could be the main way to be an artist. And it turned out that he was right.
Sure, and then, but within the band, suddenly Gene Clark is the first one out of the gate to really start putting these songs together.
He's a very good writer. He had a great advantage in that he did not know the rules at all. He knew nothing at all about what he was doing. He hadn't been to school. He was just like me, couldn't read or write music, but he had a feel for it, and he wrote wonderful stuff.
Is that something that the rules been a thing throughout your life that you learn and then you have to unlearn? Is this a constant back and forth?
Not me. I never went to school for music at all. I'm in the same place Gene was, but I know that it can be, you know, limiting, and it can also be freeing, both.
Mm-hmm. But when you start to get better at something and better at something, do you ever feel like maybe I'm getting a little too in my own head with this now, and I need to get back to that pure spot?
I think very often that what I need to do, I wish I had the time left on the planet to actually learn all the stuff, to actually go back to school and learn how to read and write music. I wish I knew.
Doesn't it feel like school happens at the wrong point in someone's life?
You got that right.
Like, think about it. If you could go to college in your 40s or 50s.
Yeah, this is all a scheduling conflict, isn't it?
Right? When you're 18, you should not be, that's not when you should be trying to get your final licks in with education.
No, you should be trying to acquire personal knowledge of the other half of the human race.
And then you take a few decades of experience, and then you take that into a classroom.
Yeah. And you're listening.
Yeah, and you're actually understanding the value of listening. At that point.
You know, we may have solved one of the world's major problems here.
It might have happened tonight. Well, if you could have studied anything, then what would you have studied? What would be an area of interest that you did not get a chance to learn about?
Well, I would have studied music. That's the first thing that we talked about. I would study music and learn how to read and write music, because I've got a lot of it in my head, and it would be fun to be able to write it down. I would also study more history. I'm fascinated with history. I read history all the time. I love it. More languages and stuff.
Was there a certain era or area of history that fascinates you the most?
Yeah, recent stuff. Recent history, last 100 years.
Okay. So, yeah, well, look, I know you maybe feel like you've seen it all a few times. You're not going anywhere. You're still hanging in there. I don't think it's too late. You could go to University of Phoenix, maybe. Sign up for a mail order class.
I'm busy, man. I'm writing a whole new, another record, and I'm just about to go out on the road again. And as long as the news is going to stop by my house, I'm going to be writing songs, you know.
Because I'm
a fully occupied guy.
David Crosby and Friends is what you tour as now?
Yeah, that's my son James. He's the keyboard player and my co-writer, and he produced the record. My pal Jeff Pivar, that we've worked with before in CPR, he's a fantastic guitar player. And our pal Stevie DeStanislaw, James's best friend from high school, a fantastic drummer that we have. He plays with David Gilmour now. A girl from Estonia, a jazzer from Scandinavia, named Mai Egan, playing bass. Amazing, amazing musician. And Michelle Willis, who is another singer-songwriter, who is also in the other band, the acoustic band, the Lighthouse Band. She's in that one, too. She's one of my favorite people to sing with in the world. A great singer-songwriter.
And you will be out with this group. You're preparing to go back out again? Because you just did shows. You did shows in a few months ago. You were out.
Yeah. I'm going back out with that band again, yeah.
Okay.
And looking forward to it tremendously.
Okay. And people can find all that stuff out over at davidcrosby.com. And you're on
Twitter. Yeah, sure.
I'm not going to take. Look, I'm not going to take too much of your time. I'm gonna let you go back to your life. You got songs to write. Well, just one final question: what in your life, David Crosby, is the dumbest purchase you ever made?
The dumbest purchase I ever made. I think it was when I bought what was supposed to be $5 worth of pot in the village, way back, and the guy who got it for me got oregano, and I bought myself an envelope full of oregano.
That's a tale as old as time. So, well, sir, it is an honor. Thank you so much for calling up and giving us a few minutes. These maniacs here will now leave you alone. They will stop bothering you.
They can be pissed. It's all right. It was funny. The whole thing was quite funny, and obviously it worked because they called you.
Yes, they're sweet guys, and I appreciate it so much. Thank you for taking some time and calling.
All right, man. Bye. Right,
you take care. Bye. Oh, my goodness. All right, all three of you get in here now. All three of you. I want all three in. All right. Pat. Yeah, I could see. You should see. Pat comes in, his face, he's got his head bent down, like Charlie Brown walking after missing the football.
No.
Mike is kind of in the middle somewhere because he knows last week he got the drunk from Twin Peaks to call up. So he's okay. And then... you should have seen the smile on Dudio's face coming in, just the smile. I never saw it. It's like a kid on Christmas morning doesn't smile the way he was smiling.
I'm not being cocky about it. It was a team effort. It was a team effort.
It was completely team effort.
Mike was telling people to like hang up so we could keep the line open.
We had a tweet that Jason was in a conversation with our top secret guest who will be revealed later, who's out there. And I looked at my phone Twitter, and I realized, oh, my God, he wrote back.
Yeah.
And I showed Jason.
It said he'd been trying to call four times.
So then I run over to – Jason starts tweeting back at him. I run over to the phones, and me and Mike are figuring out – we've never had to do this, but we had a full phone bank. Me and Mike figured out how to hang up on a call. Not hang up, but we clicked into the call.
Yeah.
Mike, get back on it.
Yeah. Mike told the person, you know, to call back. Mm-hmm. And then Mike just kept that line open – until we tweeted out on the call back, he did it.
I have been tweeting at David Crosby since 2015.
3 years.
Yeah, I know. That's why I could not believe it happened.
I never thought it would happen.
Yeah, well, it happened. Now, I'm going to say, though, first of all, very clever of you saying, I started 2 years ago trying to make this happen. It's a team effort. Like, it was a team effort.
No.
And Jason's
Jason's like,
this was a team effort.
And tons of listeners,
90
too.
Seconds later, he slips in, I've been working on this for 2 years.
No, I don't mean it like that. Seriously.
Mike?
Yes.
What did you get last week for? Did I give points last week for?
I got two slices of pizza.
You got two slices of pizza. I'm going to a point-based system now. Mike, the drunk from Twin Peaks, that was 40 points he's worth.
Thank you.
Your share of David Crosby, I'm going to do, that's 30 points. So you're at 70.
Yeah.
Pat, you're at 30 points now. Dudio, you're at 100 points, because 120 points, because you've been working on this for 2 years, of course. I don't know where. I heard somewhere that you were working on it for 2 years.
Since 2015?
Yeah, since 2015.
Still early. Still trying to get Kyle.
We can still get Kyle before midnight. It's only 9:31.
I love that this is now an open competition to see who could just browbeat a celebrity into calling the show for 5 minutes.
We were always kind about it.
Well, now it seems like the game is afoot.
But the listeners, too, on the Twitter.
Hey, the listeners, helped out tremendously.
All right, well, that's great. Now all three of you get out of here.
Okay.
Get out. That was fun. Thanks again for listening to Best Show Best. And I want to thank Martin DeGrell for supervising the episodes of Best Show Best. And of course, much thanks to Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Martine Sellis, Brendan McDonald, AP Mike, of course, John Worcester. Who else? Marcia Neumeier. And, yeah, you, the best show listener. Thank you. And if you like this, check out the full show every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight at thebestshow.net. And support The Best Show, patreon.com/thebestshow. Thanks so much for listening. Goodbye.
The Best Show is produced in partnership with the Forever Dog Podcast Network. The show is hosted by Tom Sharpling and features John Worster, Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, and Michael Lisk. The show is produced and written by Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Michael Lisk, John Worster, and Tom Sharpling. The Best Show is executive produced by Tom Sharpling, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. The show is engineered and mastered by Andrew Gleason. Website and technical support provided by Martine Sellis. And the show is recorded at Forever Dog Studios in Los Angeles. Support The Best Show on Patreon over at patreon.com/thebestshow. And follow us on YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram over at Best Show for Life. That's Best Show number 4, Life. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.